This Torah class is brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.
Okay, today we are discussing Shah Shlishi, the third gate of Orchot Tzadikim. And over here he discusses the issue of Busha, of shame. And here he discusses the issue of the connection between the eating of the fruit of knowledge of good and evil and the Midah of shame. That we know that Adam and Chava, before they ate the fruit, they didn't realize they were naked and they didn't have any shame before God. All of a sudden, after they eat the fruit, they tell themselves we're naked. And when Hashem is looking for Adam, he says, where are you? He says, I'm naked. So they got this midah of shame from eating of the fruit. From there, he says, a person needs brains. Well, in brain, I mean, Chokhmah, Bina, Adat, to realize embarrassment. A person with no brains cannot realize embarrassment. And the proof is animals. Animals do everything in front of everyone, and there's no shame. So the shame comes from a higher level, from wisdom, which he calls wisdom sometimes, he calls Sechel, sometimes he calls it Dad. So by eating the fruit, they got the ability to have shame. It's amazing. So you see over there that Dad leads to embarrassment. Person has no dart, has no brains, will not be embarrassed. Now you find today some people have dart and they're still not embarrassed. And that's a disaster because they are lowering themselves to a level of animals. So a person who has no shame has no dart. So dart is the key. Dart is a key to shame. A person who has dart, has brains, will be embarrassed. A person who doesn't have any brains will not be embarrassed. So he brings a proof. He says, therefore, he says, all the animals, they have no shame. Why? Because they don't have the ability to think. But only a person with the ability to think will be embarrassed. A person with no ability to think has no embarrassment, no shame. And therefore, a person who is wise, and the greater the wisdom he'd have, the greater he'll be embarrassed if he does something wrong. So a person who has no brains will not be embarrassed. A person who has brains, hopefully he'll use his brains for good, for being sensitive to other people's pain, to his own pain, to embarrassment with other people, to shame. And that's very key to not sinning. A person who has brains and realizes that there's a God, and realizes, how can I do this to God? How can I rebel against God? So that's the ability that we have. We're very fortunate we have brains to choose between good and bad and realize the consequences of our deeds. So, for example, a person says, you know, I'm going to smash that window. I like to smash the windows. You like smashing windows? Don't smash windows. But say a person says, you know, I'll smash the neighbor's window. You know, they don't think about the consequences. So even if they don't catch the person, the poor neighbor in the middle of winter is going to have a broken window, is going to freeze. So till he gets someone to fix the window, he's going to freeze. Number two, it's going to cost a lot of money. Number three, he doesn't feel secure in his own house. You're depriving the man of security. But a person who has no brains won't think things through. Only a person with brains will think things through. So for example, a guy says, like this lunatic in North Jersey, right? He went to kill people. So now he killed two people. He happened to kill a mother who had three children. I mean, we can't even think about it. So now think about, I mean, the idiot didn't think about the consequences. Number one is, what about three kids? He depriving three children of a mother. Now that's a terrible thing. Imagine they grow up the rest of their lives with no mother. I mean, it's hard to imagine. I mean, I can't imagine it. I mean, whoever's a mother is very, very fortunate. Now he deprived three kids of a mother. He deprived her of having more children. So there's kids missing in the world. And her children, her grandchildren, great-grandchildren, he killed a whole generation, basically. Many generations. Like Cain killed Hevel, right? Cain killed Hevel, it says, the Torah says, Demei Achicha, call Demei Achicha. All the bloods of your brother calling out to me from the ground. So the rabbis asked the question, why do they say bloods in the plural? And the answer is, he didn't only kill Abel, he killed all his children and grandchildren, great-grandchildren, great-grandchildren, for the rest of the generation, millions and trillions, maybe billions of people. So you can imagine, every generation that goes by, there's another cry to God. We're not here because this guy killed our forefather. So people don't realize the consequence of their actions. It's very hard. It's very hard. Sometimes we do things and we don't realize it had consequences. What gives us the ability to see consequences? And the answer is our brains. Our sechel, our dart, our chokhmah. Brilliant. Geniuses. We're geniuses. Why? We have much more brains than animals. At least every human being has around 100 IQ. Average. I'm just giving an average. Ballpark for you. Why did Hashem give us the IQ? Animals don't have IQ. maybe chimpanzees, maybe dolphins, they say, is the highest IQ. But even then, they can't really do anything. They chatter together, they don't really do anything. So it's interesting, but we have the highest IQ, we have the choices. We have the ability to feel. I don't think chimpanzees have enough brains to be embarrassed, do they? I don't know. I don't think so. But they learn how to do it. They can copy people, but they don't really feel embarrassment. So we are the only living creatures, he says. Outside, there's no one else with the ability to have shame, because we have wisdom. Only people with wisdom, Chol HaCham Lev, only people with wisdom will realize the level of their brains, appreciate their brains, and through their brains will get to the truth of the matter. We'll get to the ability to realize there's a God, there's one God, and we can be like angels. So it takes, without brains, a person will be like an animal. The brains enable us to be holy. Because with their thoughts, we'll be able to think, I want to be good, I want to be special, I want to be great. So according to the level of the wisdom, so too is the ability of a person to climb the ladder of wisdom. And according to the level of a person's shame, will definitely not do anything bad. Suppose, as you know, I can't withstand this shame, the embarrassment. Imagine, I mean, today a person does something in a private room, no one knows about it. But later on, in the next world, nothing's hidden. So as you can imagine, the next world, there used to be a program on TV called This Is Your Life. And the guy walks in, and they, this is your life, they write a book about his life, they give it to him, they show clips from his life. And but they only show the good clips. I can imagine they show the bad clips as well, things he did in private, things he's hiding from other people. It's going to be a terrible thing. So that's the shame that a person has to have that brings a person to teshuva. And teshuva is the ability to erase the bad clips. Through teshuva, a person can erase the bad clips. Not only can they erase the bad clips, they can rewrite them and make them good. And that's the beauty of teshuva. Thank God we have teshuva. Otherwise, it's going to be really embarrassing. So the person's going to think about it. Think about it. Well, yeah, 1 second. If I do this, imagine what kind of tape they're going to play in the next world. How do my parents who passed away, my grandparents, my great-grandparents to come along and see, hey, what did our own grandson do? Look what he did. It's in the tape of the world to come. So that shame is very powerful. The person's going to keep on thinking. You know, I'm thinking about, what does Hashem think about me? You know, it says in the book of Kings, this king did good in the eyes of God. And this king did bad in the eyes of God. So that's a kind of seal of approval or disapproval. So a person should think, I want God's seal of approval. I want God to say about me that I was good. I did good. So that's a very important trait. So the ability of brains gives us ability to be embarrassed. And a person should use the embarrassment to do good. Not to be embarrassed. We don't want to be embarrassed. And a person's got to use his brains to do good. And think things through. And think the consequences of the deeds. Imagine a person does one good deed. Rabbi, every time you answer Amen, you create angels. I read a beautiful story today about Moshe Feinstein. Moshe Feinstein, one of the great rabbis of the last generation. And he was known as the Rabbi of America. He was the greatest rabbi in America, one of the greatest rabbis in America. And he definitely was the posek of America. If you had a question, a halakhic question, you go to him. So once there was a very, very sick person. Had to do a major surgery. But he didn't know whether it's going to be successful or not. He didn't know whether he should do it or not. He came to the rabbi. So he goes with him with the surgeon. The surgeon wasn't very religious. But he took the surgeon with him to ask the question. Explain to the rabbi what's going on. So the surgeon had to explain, you know, this man's very, very sick. It says Rabbi Moshe Feinstein cried for 20 minutes. When he heard all the pain and suffering of this person, the first thing he did was cry for 20 minutes. Imagine what kind of empathy he had. I can't believe this man has so much suffering and pain and this. And there's maybe he won't die, maybe he won't die, well, he will die. Cry for 20 minutes. Then after he heard what's going on, he said, listen, I can't give you an answer now. I'll call me tomorrow. Give you an answer tomorrow. Go to sleep over this. No. This is a life and death question. You don't answer in 1 second a life and death question. And the answer is, tomorrow he gave him, he said, listen, do the surgery. And with the merit of all the amens you're going to say, you'll live your long life. Imagine what he told him. You're going to live and say amen. Every amen you get is going to give you a longer life, a longer life, a longer life, a longer life. So the consequences of an amen, we don't even think about the consequences of one amen. But it says, you know, I have a choice of praying at home or praying in the shul. What should I do? Maybe I'll pray home, it's better. If you pray at home, you can't say amen. So it's much better to go to shul. Why? It's a motivation. Why? Because it should motivate. Every time you say amen, you produce angels. create angels. In fact, the gematria of the word malach is the same gematria as the word amen. It's amazing. Imagine. The Hebrew letters have numerical value, right? Aleph is 1. Bet is 2. Gimel is 3. So on and so forth. So the word amen, aleph, mem, nun, is 91. The letters for an angel is malach. Mem, lamed, aleph, chaf, 91. Amazing. You say amen, you create an angel. Now, what's the power of an angel? Every time you create an angel, that's another years of life. Years of life. A person gets a better life, a good life. Bezrat Hashem, we'll all have good lives. But that's the motivating factor. A person's got to think ahead. If I pray with a minyan, I'll get amens. If I don't pray with a minyan, I won't get amens. What difference does it make to me? And the answer is, well, what about all the angels you didn't create? Makes a tremendous difference. We have to motivate ourselves. It's a good motivation. So that takes brains. A person's got to have brains. What is the consequence if I do this? And what is the consequence if I do that? Thank God, that's the difference between a human being and an animal. Animal can't think ahead. We have to think ahead. So now we think, unfortunately, we are human beings. It's fortunate or unfortunate, depends on which way you play it, okay? So we have human beings, and therefore all we think about mostly is physical things. Because we're in the physical world, we're physical. Physical world, so a person thinks about, what am I going to eat today, what am I going to drink today? But a person who's wise will say, listen, whatever I eat, that's what I become. If I eat a lot, I'm going to become fat. If I eat a lot, I'm going to get sick. If I eat a lot of this bad stuff, I'll get very bad and my body will fall apart. So that's a wise man. A fool will say, I'm hungry, I'll eat whatever I want. I don't care what it is, I just want to be happy. My stomach's got to be filled. I got to have satisfaction from my, you know, there's a difference between eating. So everything has consequences. And the idea of Hashem giving us brains was to remember the consequences. So our topic today is embarrassment and shame. Shame in front of God. And that's really, we learn it from Adam and Chava, Adam and Eve. In the garden, it says, when they ate the fruit, they realized that they were naked. What does that mean, they realized they were naked? They were naked from one mitzvah. They were naked from the only mitzvah that God gave them. Imagine. A person has a mitzvah. I mean, people don't realize that. Just take it a little bit. The parable over here is, okay, everyone realized they're naked. Okay, they're naked. But they didn't. What it's saying over here, something deeper over here, is they're naked from a mitzvah. It's very hard to imagine. You know, a person says, you know, I'm naked. What are you naked? Why are you naked? You're fully clothed. I'm naked from the mitzvah of saying my blessings in the morning. Something like that. So every time a person skips a mitzvah, says, I'm naked. I'm naked of what? I'm naked of my mitzvah. Because we don't realize every spiritual deed you do is another garment. It's a spiritual garment. And according to the spiritual garment, that's the judgment of the world to come. The person has to go with a complete spiritual garment, because that will clothe the person next world. It's interesting. Because that's what the rabbis, the Kabbalists talk about. A person goes without mitzvot, is it naked? They go into the next world naked. What does that mean? That means the spiritual world also has garments. The soul also has garments. A person messes up their garments of the soul by not doing mitzvot. So some souls go naked, some souls are fully clothed. Amazing, amazing. Amazing concept. So that's the benefit of wisdom. The benefit of wisdom is a person has a sense of shame, will keep away from bad things. So, it's very, very important to have this ability. And the ability is through brains. However, some people misuse their brains. So, they're terrifically intelligent, but they have no shame. And this is getting more and more today's day and age. Today's day and age, people, you know, lie and cheat in front of everyone. In front of the cameras, behind the cameras, make a difference. And they get away with it. So we're living in a society with no shame. So people use their brains to get, and don't care, they just... It's the Goebbels. Yimach Shemo Zichro. Goebbels spread this thing, this idea. You sell the lies over and over again, people stop believing you. Keep telling a lie, people stop believing you. So people using that, so saying, if I tell a lie, I'm going to be embarrassed. But if I tell it long enough, I'm not going to be embarrassed. Everyone's going to believe me. So it's one of the most important qualities that we have. Look at this. This is what he says. A person who has a sense of shame is one of the most important qualities that a person has. And it should be fixed and established in one's soul. It should make it the strongest quality in one's nature. And it should be the most important quality a person possesses. For through it, he will attain most of the other virtues, will be restrained from sins and from ugly qualities. From working on the midah of shame, I can't do this, I'm embarrassed. You know, some people say, I can't eat like that in public, I'm embarrassed. I can't eat like an animal in public, I'm embarrassed. I can't behave like that in public, it's embarrassing. I can't say this in public, it's embarrassing. One's got to work on the trait of shame. That's one of the three qualities Jews are known for. What are the three Jewish qualities? Bayishvanim, shame. Rachmanim, mercy. Gomli chasdim, and kindness. Three qualities we have to cultivate. The first one is Bayishvanim. A Bayishvan is a person with embarrassment, will not behave in public like a, I don't know, and even eventually even in private. He won't do it in public, he'll get so used to it, not do it in private as well. So certain things a person's going to do is embarrassment, shame before God. And how do we know? Look at the first laws in the Shulchan Aruch in terms of waking up in the morning. How do you change? You're not allowed to change until a person is completely naked. A person's going to keep having clothes on them. Sephardic opinion is, at least you're partially clothed. A person should walk around naked, even in their own bedroom. There should be embarrassment and shame not to change what one's clothes at once. The Ashkenazi opinion is even more strict. Says, the Mishnah Berurah says not change your socks without putting a sheet over it. Don't even show your feet. So in Sephardic countries, everyone showed their feet because you walked with sandals, whatever. But Ashkenazi countries, it's so cold, and hardly show their feet. If the Mishnah Berurah says, don't even show your feet. You got to cover yourself up completely when you change. It's like, why? Shame, embarrassment. Why? Hashem is watching. Would you stay like that in front of someone who's watching you? Or would you say, Hashem, you know? It's very hard. You see some doctors. Some doctors have shame, some doctors don't have shame. When they check the patient. So, you have to remind them, I want to wear something, I can't. You don't check, I have to, I don't have to be standing naked for you to check my arm. Give me something to wear, you know. So it's a very important busha, and it's called snoot. Snoot is embarrassment. How they wear, women, how they dress, you know, in public, and it's humiliating. I mean, it's really humiliating, but they don't, today people lost their shame. I say, there's a book. Which book is that? Nobody has shame anymore. Something like that, right? Nobody's embarrassed. Nobody blushes anymore, right? Nobody blushes anymore. There's a book. Nobody blushes anymore. One of the rabbis wrote a book. Nobody blushes anymore. Lack of shame. And that's what we're talking about here. This is something which people don't really realize. The shame comes from eating the fruits of knowledge. Shame is only part of knowledge. Animals with no knowledge don't have shame. But we have knowledge. We're Baruch Hashem, we have knowledge. And the smarter we are, the more shame we have to have. The shame stops us from sinning. And the shames encourage us to do good. A person's going to be embarrassed. How can I steal? Especially a person who helped me. So how can he steal from God? A person says a bracha. A person doesn't say a bracha on the food, they're stealing from God. A person doesn't say a bracha after food, they're stealing from God. So what kind of shame is that? How can I steal from God? God gave me all this, and now I'm stealing from him. It's so hard. It's so hard, but a person remembers to have shame in front of God. What God? Where is God? He's here. He's watching us. A person who has more shame will never do sin. A person who has no shame, and it's very hard to have shame. But that's the quality of brains. So look what he said. I want to repeat it again. A person must cleave to the midah of embarrassment until it becomes fixed and established in his soul. Must make it the strongest quality in their nature. Must be in his eyes or her eyes the most important quality he possesses. Through shame, will attain most of the other virtues and be restrained from sins of all ugly qualities. That's amazing, amazing. Ooh, this is amazing insight. Shame is one of the major qualities a person's got to try and get. Embarrassed. Not to talk to people with chutzpah, you know, with insolence. Have a little bit of shame. Not to do certain things in public which people wouldn't do. It's have some shame. Not tell lies. It's embarrassment. When Yochanan ben Zakkai died, he was dying. The student said, Rabbeinu, Baruchenu, give us a bracha. Look what he said. He said, I hope your fear of God will be like the fear of man. What does that mean? That means we've got to imagine when we're here in front of God, that someone is watching us. If a person was watching us right now, would we do what we're doing right now? Right now, yeah. Well, right now, it's great. I hope people are watching. I hope millions of people watch. And what we're doing now is Kiddush Hashem, Baruch Hashem, we're learning Torah. What more do you get? We're learning about Midot, which is unfortunately not enough. Not enough people learn Musar. It's so important to learn Musar, because Musar gives you a new perspective on life. How do you run a life? So the key of running one's life, number one trait, is shame. It's the first trait to look for in a person. When you're looking for a wife or a husband, the first trait to look for is Baishani. The person's embarrassed. He gets embarrassed when they do good. They do bad. When he does good, he's very proud. But he does embarrassing to do bad. So look what he says over here. That's the first thing. When he asks, Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, give us a bracha, what does he say? May your fear of God be like the fear of men. What does that mean? Just like you don't like being embarrassed before men, you shouldn't be embarrassed before God either. But you should think all the time, Hashem is watching me, Hashem is watching. And they said, that's it, Rabbi. That's the only thing. Our fear of God should be like the fear of man. That's it. Shouldn't our fear of God be much greater than the fear of man? He says, I wish our fear of God was like the fear of man. Now, this is someone who's really honest. Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai says, you know, he didn't make up such a big thing. Our fear of God should be way above the fear of man. He says, no, I wish it was just as much as the fear of man. That itself would save us from many, many sins. The people do it in private, and they don't advertise, and no one knows about it. So we wish God knows about it. So we wish our fear of God was like the fear of man. At least. So look what he says. Shari Adam over Avira Baseter. A person does a sin in private, and he says, No one's watching me. But if someone was there, he wouldn't do it. So a person who really thinks that God is watching will know, will do teshuva straight away. Hashem should forgive us all. Whatever we did in private, we thought Hashem was not watching. He should forgive us now, take it. Wipe it off the slate. And that quality of shame is a fence, and as a partition, an iron partition. This is the true iron curtain. The true iron curtain partition between a person and all manner of sins. A person who's embarrassed will never do these sins. A person who knows Hashem is watching will never do certain things. However, there's a higher level. The highest form of virtue of shame is that a person should be embarrassed before God. And this is discussed in the book of Ezra. Ezra says, Hashem, he says, I'm scared of you. Elohai boshti v'nichlamti larim Elokai panecha elecha. What he says to God, Ezra. Ezra was a Kohen, and eventually became the Kohen Gadol. He was known as Ezra the scribe. He was known as Ezra the scribe because when the books of the Torah were being destroyed by the Babylonians, there was nothing else left. He was the one who encouraged the scribes to write the book. Some people say he himself was a scribe, and he wrote the book. He wrote the Torah scrolls over and over again. Many gave it out amongst the Jews to people to learn Torah. But he was the Kohen Gadol when they rebuilt the temple. Ezra is so fair, he's also Kohen Gadol. And he said, look what he says. My God, he says, I'm embarrassed to lift not my face to you. How can it be? How can Ezra so fair himself be embarrassed for God? So he says, look, look what he says. Even though Hashem is hidden from the eyes of all living, he is found in our hearts and revealed in our thoughts. A person can attain a high degree in a sense of shame if he meditates in solitude on the greatness of God. He constantly remembers Hashem. So hard to constantly. That's the first halakha in Shulchan Aruch. The Rama brings down, Shiviti Hashem, Redi Tamin. Hashem should always be in front of my eyes. If Hashem is always there, then I imagine he's there watching me. I won't do anything bad. I only do good things. Hashem is watching us all the time. He sees our deeds and searches our thoughts. The rabbi said, it's amazing, also another amazing thing. If you guard yourself all your days not to sin, do not take credit for yourself. Because the beginning of turning away from sin lies in your being ashamed of what people will think of you. In other words, it starts with a low level. A low bar is, I'm scared what people think. I'm scared of public opinion. And a person should try and go with that. Why? Because if you're scared of public opinion, it means you have shame. Build on it, till you get to the point where a person says, you know what, I'm scared of God's opinion. If you're never scared of public opinion, I don't care what people think about me. If you don't care, then you have no shame. If you have no shame, it's not going to lead to anywhere. You're not going to be able to have shame from God as well. A person who's embarrassed of people, at least eventually, might be embarrassed of God. A person not embarrassed of people, never be embarrassed of God. The trouble is today, sometimes you're embarrassed to say you did good. That's the trouble today, you know. It's like in schools, teacher's pet. Oh, yeah, teacher's pet. Right, so some kids are embarrassed. They're pushed by the embarrassment of their friends to do bad. So there's different levels of, there's peer pressure. That's what peer pressure is all about. It's about embarrassing someone. I know in Arab culture, they're talking about this in the news, that they have to prove themselves. How do you prove themselves? By doing bad. To kill a Jew or hurt someone. You prove yourself. Look at these, gangs? MS-13. You got to prove yourself. You've got to do something evil to prove yourself. Otherwise, you're embarrassed. So it's a negative kind of embarrassment. So you see how great the trait of embarrassment is, that people can kill because of embarrassment. To show that they're They can do these things. So that's evil embarrassment. There's good embarrassment, evil embarrassment. So we should be involved with, that's why it's very important, stay around good people. Because then you have positive embarrassment, not negative embarrassment. But the motives is very low. If I'm embarrassed before people, the person's got to think, if I'm embarrassed before people, I should build on that to be embarrassed before Hashem. Even though there's no one around. That's a famous story of the guy who is a famous story of Israel Salanta. I've said it many times about the guy riding in his cart with his horse, and he has Rabbi Israel Salanta sitting next to him, and he says, Rabbi, he says, keep an eye. I'm just going to get some straw from the people's person's field over there. I'm going to steal some straw. So he parks his little cart, and he runs into the field to get straw, and the rabbi starts screaming, somebody's watching, somebody's watching. He runs back into the cart, takes off. The rabbi says, you said someone's watching? He said, yeah, God is watching you. The person always going to think someone's watching. Someone's watching, someone's watching. Today it's even better, because there's probably a satellite in the sky watching. If you're out in the open, there's so many cameras around today, it's amazing. But it's good. Why is it good? Because then a person says, you know what? People are watching me. I can't do all these things. I want to do something wrong, but look at it. The cameras in the stores, like they advertise, right? So a guy goes and wants to go shoplifting. He's embarrassed. He can't, because they're going to catch it. So it's worse than embarrassment today. Not only is it embarrassing, but it's also they're going to catch it. That's crazy. So today we can really imagine. That's really what the Mishnah says. A person's got to think all the time. Ayin ro'ah, there's an eye that sees, ozen shamad, and there's an ear that hears. And everything you do is going to be written down, but today, you know, it's going to be recorded. Today, we're living in a society where this Mishnah comes alive. These points today come alive, that God is watching, someone's watching. And this, and the shul also, there's cameras all over. It's better you don't know where they are. But the shul's all over. You walk around, and people are watching you. It's not funny. So then a person should be embarrassed and use that embarrassment saying, well, what happens if I'm embarrassed when people are watching me? How much more so if Hashem is watching? And I know Hashem is watching. It's clearly known. Many people do things in secret, speak many things in secret, and think many thoughts in secret. Now, in front of God, there's no difference between speaking things and doing things and thinking things. It's embarrassing. Hashem already knows what I'm thinking. Can you imagine? Hashem knows whose heart is pure and whose heart is crooked. What's the difference between a heart of pure and a heart of crooked? A pure heart doesn't think about, I'll trick this guy, and I'll trick this guy, and I'll kill this guy, and I'll hurt this guy, and I'll injure this guy. That's a disgusting heart. That's a bad heart. It's an evil heart. A good heart is, I'll do good about this guy, I'll help this guy, I'll try and help this guy. So Hashem knows the heart. And that's what we say every Sunday. It's a beautiful psalm. Psalm number 24. Everyone knows Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Mizmor David, Hashem Roei Lo Etzav. Everyone knows Psalm 30, 23. But Psalm 24, David HaMelech says, Mi Aleh B'Har Hashem, who will climb the mountain of God? What's the answer? The Ki Kapayim B'Alevav. Clean hands and a clean heart. So it's not just what we do, it's also what we think. The heart is what we think. And God knows what we think. So God is looking for two things, not just looking for clean hands. He's just not just looking at what you're doing, he's just looking at your thinking. Now, however, we're lucky. The Gemara says, God does not count a bad thought as a bad deed. Thank God. If you plan something bad, but you didn't actually do it, with the exception of two things, some people say two things, some people say one thing. One is idolatry. Idolatry is in the mind. The person says, you know what, I'm going to go and worship idols. But I mean, no, never, because that's against the first commandment. I am the Lord your God, you know how to. So that's in the mind. Idolatry is in the mind. And some people say immorality is also in the mind. I hope not. I hope they're wrong. Because everyone would be guilty otherwise. So it's very important. Those two things, keep away from the mind. And try and make the mind think good things. A lev tov. A person should have a lev tov. What is a good heart? A good heart is a mind which thinks about doing positive things all the time. Like, what do you want to do tomorrow? What am I going to wake up tomorrow? I'm going to put money in the pushka. I'm going to say my blessings. I'm going to. A person should have always good thoughts in the head. I'll help my mother, I'll help my father. So many people do things in secret, speak many things in secret, think many thoughts in secret. The only thing they fear is that this will become public. You know, it's today, what's the thing called? The mic. What mic? It's a live mic. What's it called? When they make a mistake with a live mic. They say things and they think no one's looking. It happened just recently in the NATO summit. that who are the two, the French and the Canadian, were talking about Trump. And the mic was live, and he went mad. He just walked out. He walked out eventually. He walked out of the meeting. And I think he was caught also with a live mic. So a lot of people say things today, they think, hope no one can hear me. But people are listening. And that's what we are supposed to say. Would I say this, what I'm trying to tell you now, it's a bit of juicy lashon hara, juicy bad talk. Would I tell you if everyone is watching? Would I tell you if people are listening? No. So don't say it. I was going to think, if I do this and people are watching, well, how would it look like? What would it look like? So many people do things in secret. They speak things in secret. They think many thoughts in secret. All they care about is they're worried that maybe it's going to be known. But if they realize it's going to be known, because God knows, and they get embarrassed, that should make a person, that should deter a person from doing it. So that's, again, the trait of embarrassment before God. How much more so they should be ashamed before Hashem, who looks into the heart of people, sees their thoughts and knows all the deeds, words and thoughts that a person has done all his life long. So we should do tshuva from all the thoughts, bad thoughts we have. A person has bad thoughts. It's so hard. The Yetzirah is so hard to beat. Okay, now we come to four levels of shame. Four levels of embarrassment. This is number 8 for those who have the book. Arba Madrigot B'Busha. There are four levels of shame. Number 1. A person who is embarrassed to do sins in public. So what he does it in private. That's the lowest level. Okay? Embarrassed to do things in public because I'm embarrassed people watch me. So therefore I'll do it in private. I'll hide and do it. So therefore it's called stealing God's mind. It's very strange. You're not stealing God's mind, you're stealing people's mind. No, it's called stealing God's mind. Why? Because he's embarrassed by people but not embarrassed by God. In a sense, he's stealing. What is he stealing? He's stealing the knowledge of himself that I believe there's a God watching me. He doesn't believe in it. He doesn't believe God is watching. He said his evil is very great. If you're more scared of people than God, God is really upset. It's all of us. I said, you know, I'm scared of people, I'm not scared of God. God will forgive. A lot of people say, you know, God doesn't mind. God doesn't care. God will forgive me. Well, it's true, God will forgive, but you have to do teshuvah. But it's got to be aware of it, and we have to do teshuvah. Number 2. A person who's scared of people, and also in private, he won't do sins. Well, not because God is watching, because people might find out. So he's not behaving himself because God is watching, he's behaving himself in private. He's scared, you know, there's no privacy today. There's cameras everywhere, there's everywhere. Who knows if people will find out, but you know what? I'm going to behave myself. So this the rabbi said, "Mitoch shelo lishma balishma." Even though he's doing the good things for the wrong reasons, from the wrong reasons, get to the right reasons. It's good, not so bad. Even though he's doing it for the wrong reasons. I'm not doing it in private because God is watching. That's the best. The rabbi says, you know, I really want to steal from the store. I mean, I don't. Just give an example. I don't want to steal from any stores. But the example is, I want to steal from the store. The camera's there. I'm not going to steal. So what he's doing a mitzvah from the wrong reasons. So it's a mitzvah, but it's the wrong low motives, low level mitzvah. Number 3. How could I do it in private? And God is watching. It's a very high level. Malatova, he's old. That's a very good level. You know, the person says, you know, I'm more scared of people than God. It can't be. I'm going to put God in the equation as well. I'm not going to rob because God is also watching. That's a very good level as well. The fourth one is, he person says, I don't care. God is watching me all the time. There's no difference whether it's private, public. Everything is God. And therefore, that's the highest level. So there's four different levels. Let's go through the four levels. Number 1 is the level the person says, I'm being watched all the time. Who's watching me? I'm only on my best behavior because Hashem is watching me. 24/7, God is watching me. That was the behavior of Yosef HaTzadik. Yosef, he's the only forefather called the Tzadik because he was saved from this terrible sin with Potiphar's wife. And he behaved as if God is watching him right now. Number 2. Because says, you know, says, I said, really, I'm scared of people, but I'm also scared of God. So he equates this fear of people with the fear of God, which is what Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai says to do. That's number 3. Number 2 is a person says, you know, I really want to steal, but people might catch me. And therefore I'm not going to steal. People might watch me. And number one is, I don't care, people are not around, I'll do everything. I'm scared of people, but when people are not around, I'm not scared of God. So that is the lowest level, and that's a terrible thing, because Hashem says, you put people ahead of me, and we've had this in the Torah. Where do we find this in the Torah? The difference between a ganav and a gazlan. A ganav is a person who steals at night. If he's caught, he pays back double. Kefil, double. Person steals in the day, as long as he doesn't hurt anyone, he has to pay back what he stole. That's it. How come there's a double portion at night? Because the rabbis say because of this point. He was scared of people, but not God. A person steals in the day, he's not scared of people or God. At least he put God on the same level as people. The guy who steals at night puts God lower than people. Then he pays back double. That's the first level. The first level is, when people are around, I don't sin. When people are not around, I do sin. That's a terrible thing. A person's got to do teshuva. We all got to do teshuva for that. So interesting, four levels of shame. Now look what he says. Now this is an interesting point between man and man. This is personal relations. A person should not do things that people are embarrassed to tell him anything. That's interesting. Some people don't have any shame. For example, look at the example he gives. To go and stay in someone's house, obviously they're too embarrassed to have them to leave. You know. So a guy knocks on your door, he says, do you mind if I join you for supper? I didn't invite him. He's going to join me for supper? I didn't invite him. He doesn't need tzedakah. He's quite well off. He's inviting himself. So you know what? I don't have the shame to tell him to leave. So he stays. Then he stays longer. He says, I'd like to sleep here tonight. Can you mind giving me a bed? So some people are very nice. Some people don't have the guts to throw people out. So he's taking advantage of people because of their shame. So on the one side, we're saying shame is a very good thing between man and God. But sometimes you have too much shame and embarrassment, people take advantage of you. So look what he says. He says the negative over here is not take advantage of people who are embarrassed. Because some people, you know, you can really, some people are very nice and sweet. And some people just push them to the limits. And they take advantage of them. That's the trouble. A person should not take advantage of people who have shame. They're too embarrassed to protest. So a person says, you know what? This guy is never going to tell me to leave. I'll stay for a day, 2 days, 3 days. I'll take advantage because he'll never tell me to leave. Or he'll read the private papers of the guy. And the guy says, what are you doing? Why are you reading my papers? But he's too scared to tell him not to read his papers. He comes and just takes over. Can you imagine? It says the Yetzer comes in as a guest and stays as the host. He becomes the boss. First he enters the person as a guest. Eventually he takes over the person. And that's what we're talking about up here. Imagine. The guy comes in uninvited and eventually takes over the house. Why? Because the guy is too embarrassed to have to leave. Some people are very sweet. So it's a mitzvah now not to take advantage of people's shame. So he said, shame is a very good thing. On the other hand, we have to tell people don't take advantage of people with shame. Jews have shame. So don't take advantage. Similarly, a person should be careful not to impose themselves on their friends. Lend me this, lend me that. Why? Because he has shame. He's going to embarrass. Of course he'll lend, but he's going to take advantage of someone. So it's interesting, not conning people. This is taking advantage of people who are nice people, who are sweet people, taking advantage of them. He knows people do not turn people away empty-handed. So they'll go and beg him, pester him, till the guy gives and gives and gives and gives. Person who wants to accustom themselves to having a sense of shame should sit in front of people who they're embarrassed to do anything wrong with in front of them. So for example, I don't know, who you're embarrassed of. Find someone who you're embarrassed of and sit over there. That's where a person will behave themselves. Person says, you know, I don't behave, I have this desire, this desire, this desire. So go and sit with someone who you're embarrassed of. If he's a friend of yours, you're not embarrassed. You may do things together. Let's get someone over there who you're embarrassed of and sit over there, and this way a person will be protected from the other person. Baruch Adonai Le'olam. Amen v'amen. Very, very, very important class. It's a very, very important class that people should try and focus.
You've just experienced another Torah class brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.